And we keep going on by His grace. Amen. Appreciate the message and song. Gonna be different tonight. Somebody said you're gonna preach short. You're gonna promise to preach short because we get home and watch the rest of the Super Bowl. I never make promises I can't keep. That's discouraging, isn't it? You just have to pray for me. John chapter 12. Going in a little different direction tonight. You know, the Bible always has the answers, no matter what the dilemma is. And I'm going to speak to you a little bit on something I think we all experience from time to time and maybe don't know what to do with, don't know the answer to it, or just how to discern. So we'll talk about it a little bit tonight. John chapter 12. I want to talk to you on the subject tonight, conning the compassionate. We might say faking the faithful. Conning the compassionate. Notice it here in John chapter 12. We read the first 9 verses, familiar portion. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. Notice it's supper, ladies, not dinner. They made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, always identifies Him, which should betray Him. So you know who it's talking about in verse 4. He says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this He said, not that He cared for the poor, because He was a thief, and He had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of My burying have she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but Me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. Now, my subject tonight, I don't know if I've ever really given this much time to the subject I'm going to give to it tonight. I think Judas here is a good illustration of it. We know the devil's going to enter into him. We know he was a devil from the beginning, according to John chapter 6. We understand that. But I want you to notice it's always when somebody speaks up against something, the folks that complain the most in a church about the church spending on something is the folks that don't give nothing. Brother Wade, you ever seen that? They're the ones that'll bellyache every time. That's what Judas was doing. He was complaining, he was whining, he was bellyaching here. And the scripture nails him, said he was a thief. Said he was a thief. Now, I want to deal with this a little bit. We might call him a con or a fake. Jesus was not against helping the poor. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. But if you look a little closer, you'll find out in Matthew chapter 11, when John's in prison and he sends a message to Jesus to find out if he's really the Messiah or not. And John knew he was, but the rabbis was preaching there was going to be 2 of them. So John was asking him, are you the one? And Jesus sent the message back, and one of the things he said, identifying his credentials as the Messiah, was that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And so Jesus cared for the poor. Sometime you'll read a statement like that where he said, you have the poor with you always, and you'll say, he wasn't compassionate. He was hard-hearted. No, but he was realistic, very realistic. There is a danger sometime that we get trapped in as God's people because we are compassionate. Go into Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 6, and again the Lord Jesus is talking. I may reference a few scriptures tonight. I'll be slow about it. I'll let you find them with me. So sometimes you think, well, he'll be there and gone before I get there. No, go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. Learn your Bible well enough to flip through it pretty good. Amen? And so in Matthew chapter 7, look at it in verse 6. The Lord Jesus is talking now. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, the Lord is telling us something here. It is possible to waste what you give. Give it to the wrong place. Give it to the wrong people. And he compares it to throwing. Could you imagine going in a hog pen? Now, some of you don't know what that is. But when you eat bacon in the morning, I want you to tell you something. It comes from a nasty place. A hog pen. And can you imagine going in a hog pen and taking diamond rings or pearls, as it says in the scripture, and throwing them in front of those pigs? They just walk on them. They wouldn't care about them at all. And sometimes I fear, and we are guilty of throwing some things that are precious to the wrong people, to the wrong places. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on how to tell the difference, and I don't have a surefire way. I really don't know how to reconcile this completely. I'm going to tell you a few examples and a few things I've learned on it, how to separate the real, as it were, from the fake, how to keep from being conned, how to keep from being deceived. Now, Judas is a type of the Antichrist, who's the greatest deceiver of all. And he's going to deceive the world here very, very soon, and he's deceiving them now, as far as I'm concerned. He just hadn't been identified yet. But I want to talk to you a little bit on this subject. To begin with, I want to say that it is so abused, and it is abused the worst in government waste today. Amen. Everybody's wanting free stuff, but somebody else has got to pay for the stuff. Right. I said that the other morning. And the truth is, when you give a guy a check he don't have to work for, and he's got idle time on his hands to just go spend it, there's going to be more crime and more trouble, because idle time is the devil's workshop. And we are seeing that in America today, big time. No job. Now, I never had a lot of good to say about President Clinton, but he was trying to get a program together that if we're going to give you welfare, we're going to also make you work. Now, when President Obama got in, he killed that. And so what we got going on today is free checks going out, and it is amazing. The IRS alone is sending checks to people you would not believe in prison, every other kind of way, just getting checks to the tune of billions. Amazing. And yet, that's the kind of abuse that we're talking about. Now, cons are in the world. Yeah. I mean in the outside world, as well as the inside of the church world. I remember when I was a kid in about the fourth grade, my dad had a fruit truck, and in the fruit season, he hauled fruit out of the grove. My uncle also had one, and he was doing it. We lived a few blocks from each other. In the summertime around Haines City, it was tough. There were no jobs. The fruit season was closed down. There was no welfare programs as people know it today, so things were tough. There was a fellow came through town and saw my uncle uptown in his truck, and he came to him with this big story. "You own your own truck. I've got a contracting business of putting up road signs all over Florida, and do you know anybody else that could help you?" And he kept on talking till he talked his way into my uncle's house that night and had supper with the family and stayed the night in her bed. I slept all night. Dad went over because my uncle contacted him, and they were hopped up. They're going to get a job. They're going to use their trucks. They're going to have something to do in the summer. So my uncle took the man back uptown here in Haines City, dropped him off where he was supposed to go back, meet him later, never seen him again. What did he do? He got a free supper, and he got a free night. He said it wasn't much, pretty good bit. Pretty good bit. I mean, I think about that. I think about that same time period. There was a fellow going house to house, and he'd find some kids. He'd see a kid outside. And you know, parents, we're all gullible when it comes to our kids. We think they're the best, the most talented, the best looking. All that junk is not true. But that's what mother thought, even about me. And when this guy knocked on our door, she let him in on the front porch. He had a guitar. He had a piece of steel about the size of your hand, maybe not quite that big. And he said, I'm going around lining up kids in the neighborhood to go uptown and meet me on Saturday, and I'm going to show them how to play the steel guitar. And he handed me the guitar and a piece of steel, and he'd pluck on it and ask me to move the steel, and of course that makes a different sound on a guitar, don't it, Keith? And he said, he's got talent. If he would have been Pinocchio, his nose would have grown. I got no talent at all. But Mama gave him $5. Let me tell you something, $5 was that big back then. She was excited. I wasn't too excited. I knew I didn't have any tunes in me. But on Saturday, we go up to the building. I'd still take you to the building. It's still standing right up here in town. And a lot of other kids showed up whose mamas had given $5. But there was no man there. And we never saw him again. I'm talking to you about cons. I'm talking to you about fakes and cheats and crooks. That's what I'm talking to you about. I've seen men use women. I've seen them come to church, and you young ladies, listen to me. If he's just coming to church to get you, he's a bum. You understand that? Now, what I'm saying to you, you say, well, your girl brought you to church. Yep. And that's the only place she'd go till I got saved. Watch out for the one that gets in, pretends. I've seen it through my ministry so many times. So many times. And all it is to use and to abuse and to fake it. And it's too bad. I remember one time, now this kid's, let me tell you something. Back before cell phones, way back in the Flintstone area. Understand? Way back. Used to be a service station down here. It's closed up, but it had a payphone outside. That was the payphone I first talked to my girlfriend, my wife now, on to get a date. Station's gone, payphone's gone. But one night I stopped there. We boys did that quite often. It was our favorite payphone. We'd stop there to call a girl or call something. And back in those days, there was such thing as what you call party lines, and sometimes more than one person on the line. And even on a payphone that night, you wouldn't think so, but I picked it up and somebody was talking on it. And as I listened to the talk just a little bit, it was an old boy, at that time older than me. I'd seen him around. I didn't know his name. I'd seen the car he was driving. And I heard his voice on the phone. And he was talking to the girl that owned the car. And she was asking him to come by and get her. He had the car. That lousy, low-down rascal, he wasn't going to go by and get her. I knew what he was doing. He was using her car, dating her to get her car, but he was also dating other girls with her car. So that's low down, sure it was. Low downness didn't just happen yesterday. It's been going on for a long, long time. And I'm talking to you about con stuff going on. Now tonight, I'm talking to you not so much about out in the world, and you're getting that all the time. You better be careful. Most of you know this. Your computers are being hacked. You got all kind of con artists coming over the telephone to trap you one way or the other. and you got to watch out. But I want to talk to you a little bit now tonight about the church. What happens to the saved people, because we have compassion, we're big targets. We're prime targets to fall for a con. That's what it amounts to. And you see, because we see somebody that looks like they're hurting and we feel guilt. We're not hurting that bad. We feel compassion. We'd like to help them. If we'd have lived in the day and time I was preaching on this morning in Luke 16 with the rich man and the beggar, I expect we'd have had a lot of compassion for the beggar. And maybe he was genuinely, apparently so, an honest beggar. Maybe he didn't have a cough like I've got, but he was a beggar. And we'd have had compassion, and we'd have felt guilty if we hadn't helped him. Now, there are the genuine needy, and there are the con artists. How do you discern between them? See, they all practice well-planned-out tactics. They've learned what works and what don't work. They've learned how to trick you. Some of our men going to the prison ministries several years back came back and reported to me that a man had genuinely, and sometimes they do, genuinely get converted in prison. Thank God. We've had some good results with that. But one of them told him, said down here, and it was a prison south of us, I think I could name it, but I won't try. Prisoner in there that got saved said, I want to tell you something. All these prisoners in here, all these fellas in here, all these con artists in here know about Landmark. What they know about Landmark is they can come by and you're generally good for $10 or $15. And they spread the word in prison. In fact, somewhere around your property, on a tree, on a wall, on a curb, they'll give a little sign on that curb. So the next one that comes by will know that you can go in there and probably pick up $10, $15, $20. And they pass it on among themselves. That comes straight out of one of the prisoners confessing to us after I think he got saved, and genuinely so. They've got these tactics. And Florida, this time of year, is prime target. I happened to be home the other afternoon. Well, it was around noontime. My wife was not home. A fella come up tooting his horn. And I went out to see what he wanted. He said, I'm tooting the horn because I'm afraid of the dogs. Now, apparently he come last year when I had dogs. Sometime I wish I still had them. But anyway, he wanted to pave my driveway. Now, that's a con, whether you know it or not. Listen, in Florida sand, you just don't put pavement on top of it. It might last a week or a month. You got to have a surface. But they go around and they aren't permitted, they're not licensed. They'll go up to Orlando, they'll pick up a truckload of hot asphalt, they'll bring it down, and here's the line now that they pitch. We got this left over from that job down the road, so we're gonna give it to you at half price. You're fixing to get conned. We're gonna paint your roof, guarantee it to never leak again. Until the next rain. All kind of cons go on in Florida. And some of you are looking like, I may have been conned. You probably have. You probably have. It's easy to happen. Very, very easy to happen. And watch out for the old line. You're going to get a real bargain. You're going to get a big discount. I really didn't want to go long tonight, but one story is jumping right into another. Fella backed his truck up right here at the door. Big old moving type van, big old painted up truck. Cell phones had been invented by that time, and so my secretary, who was a very wise lady, she called me on the phone, said, Preacher, if you're not far away, you ought to get up here. I said, Brother Fowler and Brother Anthony is about to buy a truckload of junk. She is smarter than they were. Many of you know who I just named. Good men. Good men. So I came up. They already had it backed up to unload. And I came up to the back. The driver was there, and here was the story. I have gone to the place I'm supposed to deliver this, and they don't want it. I've called my boss back in New York or somewhere, and he said, just give it to anybody for a third of the price. So guess what? He picked us. Now, had the back of the truck open, and there was a bunch of junk in it, a bunch of stuff. And Brother Anthony, I think, then was my bus mechanic. Brother Fowler was my school principal, and they'd been sold, really sold. And when I stepped up to the back there, and I looked in, and Brother Anthony was saying this, and this is, I said, Brother Anthony, what do you see on there that we really need? He said, well, I said, you know, I learned one thing in civics class. One day I was paying attention, and the teacher said, there's no bargain on anything unless you need it. And it stuck. Do you know that's still the truth? Now, I joke with my wife sometime. I'll say, she'll come home with something, and I'll say, you didn't know you needed that till you saw it, did you? Now, she's not bad. Some of you are. But the truth of the matter is, that's the way the con works. That guy got so mad at me because I wouldn't take that truckload of stuff. He cut the price again. I said, I don't need it. If I don't need it, there's no need of messing with it. And I kind of broke the trance that he had my two staff members in. And they said, well, I guess we really don't need none of that stuff. Gotta watch out, man. It's powerful. I mean, the suggestion is right there. And some of you young people, you better watch it. You can get a credit card and you can get it all charged up and you'll never pay that thing off. And you didn't need none of that junk. And by the way, when you recycle it into the garage sale, how much do you lose? Do the arithmetic on it. Sad truth. But I'm talking about when it comes to the church, we are not immune from cons. We are targeted anymore. I look around and I see that sort of stuff. Wives with kids asking for help gets your heart, and they know that. So when they come to the office door, my secretaries can tell you, and when I deal with them, I'll find the bum hid in a car many times newer than what I'm driving. But the kids are there, and they're taught to stand there and help mother make the plea because they want to get to your heartstrings. They want to con you. Sometimes it's genuine, but when a fellow is healthier than I am, driving a newer car than I drive, I see through that scam pretty quick. And it is a scam. Too many times it's a scam. Lady came, well-dressed lady, knocked on my office door. I was, I think, on my feet about to leave, so I walked outside with her, and she said, I need help. Now, she was dressed nice. When we walked out the door in the sunlight, there was a brand new SUV that she just got out of. I said, what do you need help with? She said, making my car payment. God's truth. Now, I said, ma'am, you're driving a newer vehicle than me. I just don't believe I want to make your payment. I don't make none of my own. She got a little pee, but I'd give her a dime. That's a con. That's a trick. You got to be able to be realistic about things like that and understand. Say, well, why'd they come by church? They think church is just a bunch of dumb suckers down here, and that the only reason we meet is to take care of their needs. Now, I'm not trying to sound hard. Maybe I'll get a little more compassionate in a minute. I do not like it. Some of you folks listen, because I'm talking to you in general. I'm not buttonholing anybody. I do not like it when a bum comes up to you first, and then I have to get into it, and I look bad in front of you if I recognize him and you don't. If I say no and you think, preacher's hard-hearted, no, he just may be smarter than you think. He may have been further down that road, further up on that house hunting eggs than you've been. Amen? And you ought to understand that now, because that is a tactic they use. The tactic is to catch the preacher in front of his members and he won't say no. And it works pretty well. That's one that's hard for me to get by. How many of you saw the woman outside this morning with the sign? Several hands. Now, I want to say something to you about it. I don't know all about it. She was standing on the corner. She had a sign painted up well that the kids were hungry, they needed money, and so a lot of our members, including me, ultimately gave her some money. Now, I want to just tell you something. That sign had been well prepared. It was no last-minute thing. When I started asking her the questions about where her husband was and where was the vehicle they came up with, she wouldn't tell me none of those things. She said, oh, he's around. Yeah, he's around, all right. Now, at the same time, while other people were coming by and even visitors that was with us this morning, I couldn't stand there as a preacher and say, I'm not going to give you anything. So I gave her something, and several others did. I suspect, now listen to me, she picked up at least $100 standing on that corner. She might have picked up two, I don't know. But hear me, now some of you, don't try it, I'll recognize you. It won't work for you. She was a stranger. I had never seen her before. She picked up some cash. Now think this through with me. How many churches did she go to and pull that trick? You can pick up a lot of money if you make it work like she made it work this morning. Now, I feel sorry for the kids, but wait a minute. They were pretty well dressed. They were not skin and bones. And we gave her enough money. And the other thing is, you never know whether the kids get it spent on them or whether it goes to the bar or to something else. So you have to be wise on that sort of thing. You have to be on guard somewhat on that sort of thing. And I read you enough verses, and I may read some more in a minute, where the Lord is trying to put you in balance. At one time, I mean, Paul took up offerings from one church to take to another and to the poor saints here and there. And all of that is scripture, and the Bible is full of giving. But then Jesus warned, don't throw your pearls before the swine. Get it back in balance. Get it back in balance. And we all want it to be used well when we give it away. Now, one of the ways you test somebody like that, yeah, there's no foolproof way, but one way you test it, and they come out there, and it happens a lot this time of year, they come in first wanting the money first. I say to them, you're welcome to church. You can sit here through church, and after church, I'll talk to you about it. Now, that's a good test, because many of them will not do that. They'll leave. They just won't do it. And I pulled that several times. They want it now, and they want to go. And I've had them come in here even at the starting time of church and want to disrupt everything. And don't be a sucker. Don't let one of them grab you by the arm and bring them down front and hold up the service 15 minutes while I hear another story I've heard 100 times. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you facts about the way it is. And you need to be careful. Now, you say, well, aren't we debtors? We're debtors to give them the gospel. That's what Paul says. We're debtors to give you the gospel. Now, if they won't stand still for the gospel, they are working a scam on you. Or if they've learned church language, and many of them have. By the way, you ask them like I asked the lady this morning, are you saved? I'd have been surprised if she'd said no. She's been to enough churches to know the church language. And so you say, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus? Oh, yes. They know what to answer. I doubt that she had. If you want to really find out, say, let me ask you a question. When you die and you stand before heaven's gate, what will you tell the angel that to get you in? What will be your answer when he asks, why should I let you into God's heaven? See, you're getting down to the nitty gritty, and most of them can't answer that right. Well, I go to church. I've been a Christian all my life. All of that's the wrong answer, folks. Amen. Very wrong, very wrong. But you know, we're debtors to give the gospel. Do you know that every one of us, whether you got your money in your billfold or not, you got something you can give them? Go to Acts chapter 3 with me. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Just flip on over there from John to Acts to your right. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Let me drop this on a side note when I come across the word alms. Alms is not your tithes and offerings. Amen. When somebody says, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's giving, that's talking about alms. It's not talking about your tithe. Don't hide behind that. That's talking about your extra giving, alms. And so he was asking alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, just like it's worded in your King James. Give me a gift. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something like a piece of money, something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Now, you may not can make a cripple rise up and walk, but you can tell him about Jesus. And if Jesus wants to, he can. But you can tell him about Jesus, and that's one thing we all got to give away. Yes, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, you know, we're supposed to help when we have it to help, when it's a genuine case. If you were to go over to James chapter 2, pick it up in about verse 15 of James chapter 2, you find out over there that James recommends that we do that. In chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked. Now remember, it said brother or sister. Somebody you probably know. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He's making the point here, faith without works is dead. He's talking about what is tangible. The Salvation Army started out on this very basis. And let me tell you, in Chicago and other places, it is really bad still today. You hear it on our radio all the time, Pacific Garden Mission. And I'm all for that, but they have a goal, and that goal is take care of their physical needs, but give them the gospel every time. Give them the gospel. Give them that we have, as Peter and John did there at the temple door. Now, we ought to help when we can. Now, sometimes, so how do I know whether they're genuine or not? They all have good stories. They sure do. Sometimes the Lord will lead you in a way to test them a little bit. I'll tell you one thing, it'll test them. If you say, well, I got some work here you can do. Boy, that'll test them. Tramp, tramp's an old-fashioned word, kids, but a tramp during World War II knocked on the lady's door, and he's wanting a handout. She said, okay. She said, you see that wood pile right there that needs sawing? Those logs need sawing up? He stood there, and she said, did you see it? He said, yes, ma'am, I saw it, but I'm not going to saw it. Now, what was he saying? I'm not going to work. I want something free. And work will test them. We're building these buildings right over here. The next ones across the parking lot become the school buildings, curriculum building. And on that long building between the two, we were up in the rafters working, sweating. It was summertime. You staff, you ought to be thankful I got older, because it was me and my staff up there putting that roof on. All of them, by the way. Didn't have no special VIPs that didn't get to work in the summer. Amen and amen. Help yourself. But anyway, this guy come up on a bicycle. Now, he was dressed like modern bicycle riders. Tank top and shorts and tennis shoes. And he come riding his bike up there. He wanted a handout. I said, well, we're busy right now. If you want to jump in and help us work. Oh, I got a bad back. I said, how far you been riding that bike? Well, really, all the way to Miami. I thought, that ain't a bad back. But he kept on saying, you want some money? And I told him, I can't give you any money. Well, I'm hungry. Brother Vic Stoddard was on my staff then. He's dead now. But y'all remember Vic? Now, Vic was a little older maybe than me, or maybe just as old. He was a little bit heavier at that time, and he was hurting in that sunshine. I said, Vic, he's hungry. Take my car, and here's some money, and take him to McDonald's. You don't give him the money. You buy him a Big Mac, Vic come back after a while. I said, how'd it go? He said, didn't go good. Said he begged me all the way there for that money. He said I wouldn't give it to him. We went in, sat down. I made him order a Big Mac. He said he couldn't eat it. He wasn't hungry. He's a liar. He was a cheat. He was a con. He come up to scam some folks in the church building. That's all. Yes, sir. And I can tell you more and more of those stories. You better hope I don't think of another one. There's the deeper religious con that gets in. Now, he really knows the church talk. He really knows the way a church functions. And as a pastor, you're the under-shepherd. You don't only lead the sheep to pasture. You got to fight the wolves off. And some of the worst things I deal with is the wolves that are religious wolves. And they know the language, and they're dressed in sheep's clothing, and they come in to devour the flock in the real sense of the world. I'm looking at a note right here. In fact, whatever notes I had tonight, I scribbled on this page, and I got this from the college, I guess, this week. Pastor Carter from the college office. Today, evangelist Tim Green, and many of you know Tim, called to alert us about a man who says his name is Jacob. I won't use his last name in case he's listening. It's not a good American name. From Africa is calling him and some of his associates, claiming he has applied to our college. He's trying to get into the country and also has been asking for items such as computers. They don't ask for little things. Brother Green does not know him. He sent the man a few books. Now he gets frequent calls from him. That'll happen. The phone says unknown. Several months ago, a man called us with the same request, now using Dr. Green's name on us. He's using Landmark on the evangelist's name. Now he's using the evangelist's name on us. They're slick. They really think that thing through. How to come in. One of the worst deals I remember getting. A young couple came in my office several years ago now. He was just bubbling over with personality. Good to see you, preacher. My dad speaks well of you. He's pastor up so-and-so, and I recognize the name he used. But I didn't know the preacher good, but I recognize the name. Good church, good ministry. He said, Susie or whatever her name was, and I just got married. We got down here and the transmissions tore up in the car, and we've got it in the shop, and we need $500. And my dad said, ask you to go ahead and give it, and he'll put a check in the mail right now. He looked at me good. This big fool fell for it. I should have called his dad. I did later. He didn't even have a son. What had that bum done? He'd gone by the church sign. He'd looked up the information about the church, and he used it. We preachers kind of know of each other. We don't all know every kid's name in the family and all that, and I fell for it. I've never seen him or his bride or a transmission or a car or a check again. Just made a donation, got scammed. Now, while you laugh, it's happening all the time. Many times, even bigger than that. Bigger than that. Deep religious cons. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I'll show you one right here in the Bible. Acts chapter 8. Pick it up with me in about verse 18. Here you have some folks getting saved and baptized. You have a man that was a sorcerer. His name is Simon. You pick him up in verse 13 of Acts chapter 8. And he believed also, and when he was baptized, he contended with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which was being done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Here's a fellow coming out of his sheep's clothing now. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter, tough Peter, smart Peter in this case, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me. Now it's possible he repented here. Maybe he was a new convert, but all of a sudden he saw an opportunity. Do you know there's a lot of folks get saved and come to church, but their background catches up with them every now and then, and they say, hey, this would be easy pickings. These folks trust anybody. I can fool them like I used to fool others. You say, can a saved person do that? Possibly. But especially a hypocrite that fake being saved can. And that really happens. It really does happen sometimes. I've told you about the gambler that came forward in church to get saved, joined the church. And old-fashioned church, preacher stood him up in front of the congregation, and he said, okay, John here says he's been saved. Now, John, are you going to get rid of that gambling machines and equipment, close that gambling hall? John said, well, preacher, what would I do if I backslid? I'm holding on to it a while. That's what he was saying. And I've seen some folks come like that. Not going quite turn loose of it yet. I doubt the sincerity of being saved when it's like that. But you see that sort of thing. They take advantage of the Christian teachings. My wife can tell you not long after I got saved, I made a dumb move. I opened up a little old service station, of which after a few months I went broke. I did get in a lot of witnesses to a lot of people, but I sure had some challenges. That little old service station had a big plate glass window in the front of it. And on the window, I took shoe polish, white shoe polish, and I wrote, Sunday is the Lord's day, we close. Big. Every bomb in that little old town, and that little old town had plenty of them. I often thought about it being like the drainage in your sink, and all the trash just moves right to the spot, and I was the spot. And the word got around the community, he's a soft touch, he's a Christian. So they'd go in there to bomb off of me, and they took me many times. But the word got out. Take advantage of the Christian. Take advantage of the fella, because he's got compassion. And he's easier to trick. And they still pull that trick on everybody today. Take advantage of that compassion. Sad truth is, it still works. We got to be careful. Yes, don't let it cause you not to help folks in real need. And the fire will be hotter on them if they are conning you. But use some common sense. In some areas, boy, with the telephones and computers today, how tricky they are. Lord, Stephen was still here. I think it was on a Monday morning. I come into the office, and both secretaries in my office had been sold by this phone call. And boy, when I come in, it was tense. Right now, we got to help. Right now, we got to do something. The sheriff's on the phone. A sheriff up in Carolina, West Virginia, somewhere up there, Tennessee, wherever he was. Some of our folks have had a wreck, and we got to send them some money right away to be able to get the wrecker to pull the car off. And the sheriff's on the phone. Sold both my secretaries on it. Because they were sold, and because it was Monday morning, no preacher should be faced on Monday morning and expected to have full brain power. Amen. So I rush in there. Who is it? What is it? What can we do? emergency. So I'm on the phone and this guy's talking to me. He's a deputy sheriff. You got to send some money. This family said you'd help them. We gotta have the money to get this man to take the wrecker and pull the car off. He had me kind of confused. Stephen walked in behind me a little bit, and he had that electronic magic box in his hand. Some of you call them smartphones, whatever. He had it in his hand. He stood there in front of the desk while he's listening to me talk to this guy. And he starts shaking his head. I put my hand over the phone. He said, "Daddy, it's a con." He said, "That number he's calling from is no sheriff's number." He said, "It's a trash number." Now, I don't really know what that means. It's one you can't trace. I don't know. But he said, "It's a con." So I get back on the phone. He thought he had me sold. I think he did have me sold. But I get back on the phone. I said, "Well, you know what? I'm a good friend with the sheriff. I'm going to let him check you out and see if you're really a sheriff." Bang, he hung that phone up just like that. Then I thought, how could I be that dumb? I was about to say, "Ladies, cut a check. We got to get this family out of a fix." They're trickier than you think. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've been taken. I think some of you have to raise it. But when it comes to church, we are target folks. Please be careful. You're going to have folks that seem to be legitimate ministries, folks that seem to maybe be good singers or even good preachers. And some of you ushers and others, deacons, listen to me. When a guy comes in, he introduces himself as a preacher, that's good. I'm glad to have him, but I want to know where he pastors, what church he's a member of. I want to know if he's genuine. So it's one thing to say you're a preacher, and it's another thing to really be what you ought to be. One more story. One more. Early years of the minister here, we were growing faster than we're growing now as far as percentages. A lot of souls were being saved. And a little old hospital was down in the middle of town then, and I was on a hospital visit. I had one staff member. All the joyful days, one staff member. Anyway. One staff member, he was a song leader, young guy out of college, doing a good job. I'm walking down the hall of the hospital, and over the speakers it says, "Paging Pastor Carter, paging Pastor Carter, urgent, emergency. Get back to your church now." Boy, I come out of there, and I broke the speed limit getting three or four blocks back over here, come sliding up in the driveway, run in the side door of the church. There stood my song leader, and he was about as quiet as that sheet of paper. I thought, what in the world? But there was two men standing there. One of them was dressed up super nice, cufflinks, everything. Super nice, Mr. Slick. And he said, "Pastor, I'm so-and-so. And God has spoken to me that I'm going to start a meeting here this Sunday. And God has spoken to me that we're going to have numbers saved. And we'll run the meeting as long as God wants." My song leader was just standing there almost trembling. This guy had done a number on him. And I felt something rushing up the back of my neck. You ever felt that? Preachers don't get mad, but they have righteous indignation. And it was crawling up my spine. He keeps on going like this. He said, "Now, I got a message. I got a message for this town. This town will never be the same. And I'll start it tomorrow." I believe it was a Saturday or tomorrow, what it was. But he said, "I'd start." And then I said, "There's only one problem with that. You say God told you, but he didn't tell me." And I went and opened the door and I said, "Get out of here." I sent him packing. My song leader, still young boy from college, still didn't know what I was doing wrong. Maybe God was going to strike me dead. This guy had him believing God had sent him. But he hadn't. More like the devil had sent him. Amen. Sad truth, folks. Now I'm on a subject tonight that's tender. You don't know what to do. Sometime we'll take the position, I'd rather give and it be wasted to not give it all, and you can do that. And before God, in the long run, God will get them if they're scamming you. But at the same time, you got to watch out that you don't give away what you could use for the glory of God. There's a lot of missionaries that need a lot of help. There's a lot of true people of God that need a lot of help. And we want to help every one of them we can. Amen. Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You don't have to check your brains at the door when you get saved. Amen. You don't have to just become a dummy because you're a Christian. You can still use some common sense. And God will help you in that if you pray about it. In the meantime, don't go on a guilt trip. Let somebody put a guilt trip on you. Well, you didn't help them. Weigh in the balances what you can. Check it out the best you can. But you're not doing very wise. You're not being a good steward if you give God's money to crooks like that. And it's rampant today. It's rampant. I know that. Do this for sure. Whether they're con or whether they're genuine, you give them the gospel. That's the only thing you actually owe them. The gospel. Tell them about Jesus. You'll find out soon if there's anything genuine about them when you start talking to them about the Lord. Amen. Now, it's been a different message tonight. I don't know. I didn't preach you the gospel to try to get some of you saved. I didn't preach you about drawing closer to the Lord, but I gave you something practical tonight that you can use. I don't know what the needs are out there tonight. We'll give an invitation. If God needs you to come to the altar, then do it. If you're here and you're not saved, if you'll come down here, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Amen. If you're here and you are saved and you're following the Lord afar off, you can come rededicate that life and be pleasing to Him for you to do that. Amen. Let's stand, please. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we are in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We are to be wise as your people. And we are to be good stewards of what you give us.